Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesdays.
Quite neatly, actually, we're staying with the topic of babies and rather the topic of moms delivering babies in this case. You might recall in February this year, we had a conversation on air about antenatal classes and pregnancy education. And that day, a listener phoned in to mention to us the remarkable work that was being done by a non-profit organization called Bus Fare Babies, which was trying to help women in the rural Eastern Cape to access affordable, reliable maternity care. And we've been meaning for ages to find out more. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to welcome on the line the founder of Bus Fare Babies, Karen Clark, on the line from Petty in the Eastern Cape. It's great to have you with us, Karen. Good afternoon.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I know you've been working as a midwife for virtually as long as South Africa has been a democracy. What drew you into this field in the first place?
Desperation, maybe. I started in fashion, and then I wasn't destined for a factory.
That's so quite a career change.
And then I ended up doing nursing, and from there I went into midwifery, mm-hmm. which I loved, and have been doing ever since.
Okay. Now, I know a lot of that training was done in city settings, Karen, particularly time spent here at a hospital in Khayelitsha, which I think was very influential for you. What was it that made you want to shift your focus to rural areas?
When I did my training in Cape Town as a nurse and midwife, the component we did for midwifery was done in the informal settlements around Cape Town. So I started working in Guguletu, Mitchell's Plain, all the midwife obstetric units, which mm-hmm. are small units that deal with most of the births that are uncomplicated. And I went back to work in Khayelitsha in Harare, Makamapangwana Hospital. And when I was working there and during my training, I was just struck by the number of young women and older women, but mostly young women who came to the cities to have their babies. And the kind of conditions that they ended up living in. And then the child would often go back to the rural area and the woman would stay and try and find a job. And it just felt like surely we could avoid this unnecessary move and then and just try and let people give birth in rural areas in good places. You know, most mm-hmm. were accessing city care because the ambulances were coming slowly. They were far from hospitals. They weren't ideal situations. So it started from that. It was more like a practical kind of look at it and thinking, well, surely we don't have to do this.
Yeah. I'm sitting thinking here, a couple of years ago, I assisted with some PR on a fundraising effort for medical care in the Petty area, which is where you're based. And I remember the story of the number of hours doctors would be on duty because there simply weren't enough of them. The stories of how oversubscribed ambulance services were. It was stuff that we take for granted in the city, Karen. The medical services might not always work as efficiently and as quickly as we would like them to, but there is at least a sense that if we called for an ambulance, one should probably arrive relatively soon. You're facing conditions where in some cases there might be one ambulance servicing multiple different communities spread over a very large geographical area. There is no guarantee that it arrives at all for the woman who is in labor.
Yes, many babies are born before the ambulance arrives. So sometimes it's, sometimes you're lucky and it's 3 hours or 4 hours.
Yeah.
But 6 hours is kind of not unusual.
Okay. Hence, you're recognizing there is a need to offer some kind of support that just provides that space for mothers to give birth in safety and in comfort and with a degree of dignity that was absent. So, Karen, how did you go about tackling that problem? Tell us what you've done in founding Bus Fare Babies.
I came in quite naive and I thought everyone would think this was a good idea. But then I realized quite quickly that in rural areas, you have quite conservative mindsets. And so a lot of women were like, what is this? Like, why don't we all just go to the hospital? So to start with, there wasn't a real understanding of what the service was that we offered. Mm-hmm. But as more babies have been born, women have kind of seen there's a different way of having a baby. You know, it's almost like a conditioning. Society thinks we have to, with the first contraction, call the ambulance. And there's no real space for any labor to happen at home. I mean, in cities, people might start their labor at home and then when it's a bit stronger, they might go to the hospital. But what happens when women rush into the hospital situation, they might sit there for days with false labor.
Yeah.
They might just sit there for days even with normal labor, but it's not really a nice environment to be in. And also your hospitals are congested when that happens.
Yeah.
So what we did was we just renovated a small building, which we used for the first 5 years. And it was very simple. It was just two bedrooms with a kitchen, bathroom, and we used that for checkups as well as for the birth. It became a bit more complicated when there were two leases issued on the same property.
Oof.
So we had to move out of there. And then we worked for the past 2 years out of a rondavel, and we've had no electricity. So we've been even more challenged.
Gosh.
So which came to the point of me eventually saying, we have to actually have electricity. So at the moment, we're trying to access a better location because the place we're in is far from the center of town.
Yeah.
So it's harder for women to come for their checkups. It's also harder for the girls who are at school to access that kind of care. And although we would prefer not to have children at school needing to access maternity care, it's a reality that we have to deal with. Those girls need maternity care almost more than older women. So it's been quite challenging, and but at the same time, you know, when you are squeezed like that, it's a good time for the community to also reflect on what the service is and on how it's been serving them. So at the moment, we're busy doing some surveys just to kind of gauge the opinion of the community on how they feel about the services we have offered, which is also a nice dialogue to go into and to kind of converse around what do women want. Because most women have never had a choice. You know, in a rural area, you don't have a choice on where to give birth. With those labor pains, your mother's going to send you, probably on your own, in an ambulance to the hospital. Because that's how she went to have her babies. Mm. She's not trying to be hard. She's just, that's all she knows of labor. So the old traditional midwives are no longer really filling that the gap of looking after women. There's no one really, when labor comes and there's no one else to kind of, who knows that world, they very quickly put onto an ambulance and away. But when the ambulance is 6 hours, you need to actually have some skills to know how to look after that woman in the meantime.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Corin, it must be hugely challenging where there are complications in labor. You talking here about the easy labors that don't necessarily need any kind of intervention, that aren't calling for a Caesar or an epidural or any kind of intervention.
Yes.
You're really allowing women to have some choice in the way in which they give birth, as women in cities are offered.
Yes, that's what we want to do is just kind of, for the low-risk labors that go straightforwardly, we just want those women to give birth in a nice place where they feel held and they're not feeling frightened and there's not kind of strong language being used at the time when they are feeling vulnerable.
Yeah.
So I think all women actually want that, and it's quite hard to find that for yourself wherever you live, but rural women are particularly shortchanged on that choice.
Yeah.
So what happens if we do have emergencies, we have to make a planned transfer. And because of the delay in ambulance, we normally transfer with my car to East London. We have tried going to the nearer hospital, but there usually are even more delays going that way. So normally it's a good 100 kilometers that we have to kind of move
and
in
they're
that
not,
situation.
And they're not over the best roads either, if I remember that part of the world correctly. Okay. How do you manage to keep this going, Corin? I mean, you talk about using your own car as a makeshift ambulance in emergency situations. Obviously, medical care of any sort comes at a cost in terms of you know, a lot of the items being non-reusable, for example. How do you manage to keep funding this?
We keep our costs low. We are very fortunate. I work with one person, Nombola Dhaka, and we've worked together since we opened the birth center in 2010. Mm-hmm. She's been training with me in attending women in birth, and we're hoping she's going to continue to qualify as a midwife. The women who fund us are called the Wild Women on the Run. They're a crazy bunch of women who run up the Transkei Coast once a year. They've just finished their run this month. And we survive on very little funding. Whatever they raise, that's what we survive on.
Sure.
Nombola gets paid 1,000 rand a month. It's not much. And she's very committed and very kind and loyal and amazingly caring for the women of her community.
Sure.
I don't receive payment because it's almost like the payment we need is just to actually keep the vehicle going and to keep the place alive more than for ourselves. My husband's had to become a coffee roaster to fund us. But that's quite a good It also supplies good coffee in the morning, so I can't complain.
You can't complain about that. I mean, it's an extraordinary story, Corin. To imagine, I mean, I don't know if all of our listeners are familiar with this part of the world. I am, because I grew up in the Eastern Cape and spent many holidays in Hamburg and Catburg and places like that. And they're very remote. They are not easy to get to. It's not as simple as saying, okay, if there's an emergency, we'll get you to the nearest hospital. Because even if it is only 60 or 100 kilometers away, that's not a 45-minute drive.
That's the thing. And the lack of cars. Actually, you know, personal vehicles, they're very few personal vehicles in the villages. So although we look almost like we should be urban because we're so stuck between Port Alfred and East London, it's actually very far. In fact, Transkei, a lot of places are closer to hospitals than we are.
Gosh, yeah. Corin, I mean, I'm hoping that listeners hearing this are inspired to want to help and support what you're doing. Do you look for, I know you've said these amazing women who run for you every year are your sole source of funding. Is there a way that people listening to this interview today can help support what you're doing?
We would welcome any funding. What they could do is look at our, on the website, we haven't got a website for ourselves. We've got a Facebook page, okay, which is just Bus Fare Babies Birth Center. For Facebook,
okay.
And then my other side of things is that I run a website, which is BirthWorks, and I run that with Lana Peterson in Cape Town. We hire out birthing equipment, but on that website you can also see we've got a Bus Fare Babies page.
Okay, so if you look
and
for the BirthWorks
site, way to contact us. Yeah, so that's www.birthworks.co.za.
Corin Clark, wonderful to have you with us today. And I can only salute you for what you're doing under incredibly challenging circumstances. We take a lot for granted sitting here with access to hospitals, even if we're making use of the public hospital system, not the private hospital system. We have access to facilities in the big city, which are simply absent for many women. And never forget that. It's easy to take it for granted. Corin, a wonderful story. Thank you for chatting to us today. And I hope you are able to keep Bus Fare Babies going strong and perhaps growing in the future. It would be wonderful if that level of passion and commitment compassion could be rolled out to more communities in need. It would be a fantastic story. So effectively, that was a good dose of Lead Essay today, even if it wasn't the Lead Essay segment per se. Please do check out Bus Fare Babies Birth Center on Facebook or access their info via the BirthWorks website.